It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, starting a two-part teaching on the parable of the prodigal son. Luke 15, verse 11 reads as follows. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Here we have, in the classic tradition of the parables, this is called the parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal means wasteful. This is often called, in some circles though, the parable of the father's love, because this particular parable teaches the father's love for not just this one lost son who is prodigal, but there are two lost sons in this particular parable. The prodigal son lost outside the home. The older son lost inside the home. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Or in other words, give me my inheritance. And here we see the first signs of an individual going astray or becoming prodigal and wasteful is that the younger son desired to have the father's goods rather than to be with the father. He desired to have what the father could do for him rather than stay there in the home and have a relationship with the father. And so it is in many Christian circles. Individual Christians, especially here in contemporary America, are sometimes overwhelmed with creature comforts, and they desire to have what God can bless them with rather than having God himself in sweet relationship. They desire the things that God can do for them rather than God himself. And this particular pull is jerking and yanking the prodigal son out of the father's presence into the world. And that particular pull and yanking is drawing many Christians today from the father's presence back into the world. The prodigal son thought that the grass was greener on the other side. He thought that there was true love elsewhere and excitement elsewhere. And yet, right there in the home is everything the prodigal son needs for love, fulfillment, and excitement. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 8 says, "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." If we get outside the will of God, begin to be in want and begin to lose everything that the Father has given to us, it will be a time of misery. It will be a time of much shame and guilt. Verse number 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." He went into a far country. When individuals are being pulled and yanked in a backslidden state and go back into the world, such as the prodigal son, in their heart of hearts, they desire to go into the far country. In their heart of hearts, when they backslide, they desire to get as far away from God as possible. They no longer desire to hear the sermon, no longer desire to read a tract, no longer desire to hear a witness, individuals knocking at the door saying, "You've missed church for the last 3 weeks. How are you doing? Can we help you? Please come back." These particular words are no longer welcome to the individual who desires to go to the far country. They'll change their phone number. They'll change their routine. They'll change their circle of influence and desire in their heart of hearts, in their backslidden state, to get as far away from God as possible. And when that happens, we see that here he wastes his substance with riotous living. Proverbs again, chapter 29, verse number 3 says, "Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance." This individual, the prodigal son, as the old saying goes, he was caught up in wine, women, and song. He was in a far country. Proverbs again, chapter 20, verse 21 says, "An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed." This individual prodigal son would not wait for his inheritance at the appropriate time and got it hastily. He got everything he wanted all at once. And as a result, there was no individual appreciation. There was no individual responsibility. There was no individual accountability. And there was no individual wisdom that went along with the inheritance. And as a result, he spent it in his immaturity and foolishness. And that's why we as parents have to be careful giving children more than they're responsible for at a young age, but allow them to grow in their accountability, responsibility, allow them to grow in their appreciation, and then what they earn and what we give them will be held on to and appreciated. He wasted his substance with riotous living. He thought he was having a good time. Verse number 14 and 15. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." This individual had now hit a bottom. He had spent all of his money, and now there was a great famine. He began to be in want. He was hungry now. He was cold now. His circle of influence and friends had deserted him because they were only around when he had money. They were only around when he was the host of the party. They were only around when he was the one allowing them to have a good time. And when the money and resources were gone, they were gone. So it is. Many individuals go into the far country and backslide for many different reasons. They may leave the church because they believe that there are hypocrites in the church. They may leave the church because they find fault in the pastor, expecting the pastor or the pastor's wife to be perfect. If they happen to have a shortfall, then it gives them an excuse to leave the church. Going into a far country. They may be going through a marital spat, and the love is lost in terms of the affection and intimacy, and now someone winks the eye at them at the office place or in the grocery store, and they begin to think that the grass is greener on the other side, and they begin to sneak and creep and begin to skim and begin to scam, manipulate, lie, and cheat, and begin to backslide, thinking that love is waiting for them with the wink of an eye, when all that's waiting for them is misery, heartbreak, and heartache for themselves, their family, their reputation, their integrity, and their circle of influence. Here we see him lacking. If he had stayed in the will of God, then he would have been promised abundance, and he would have been promised his needs would have been taken care of. For the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It says here, he joined himself into a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. Instead of going back to the Father, instead of going back to God, he joins himself unto man. He looks for man to save the day. And yes, God can use individuals to help us, but his original heart of hearts should have been to run back to the Father in repentance and confession instead of going to man first. Perhaps he was full of shame. Perhaps he was full of guilt. But that is okay. Shame and guilt should point us and convict us into the direction to run back to God and say, "God, I am sorry. Please forgive me." Instead, this guilt and shame immobilized him. Instead, this guilt and shame allowed him to remain separate from the congregation, remain separate from God, perhaps believing that the congregation would not accept him back, perhaps believing that individuals may talk about him when he got back to church, perhaps believing that God cannot forgive him for all that he's done. However, the Bible says, "Come unto me, and in no wise I'll cast you out." It says here, the citizen, that man, did not restore him to God, but yet he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And this is a picture of this Jewish individual in the parable hitting his bottom. In other words, there's no lower state the individual can reach in the Jewish community than to have contact with swine, to feed swine, to clean the pig pen from feces, swine feces. This is a picture not just of him hitting his natural bottom where all he can do is look up, but also spiritual separation from God. Because here, if an individual in the Jewish circles, according to the Torah, according to the Old Testament, if they have contact with pigs, then they are unclean. And this individual now is unclean. A picture of us as individuals in the church, that if we go into the far country and we begin to do things that cause us to be unclean, as a pattern, as a lifestyle going back into the world, then we will lose our salvation. We'll break fellowship with God. Our heart will be turned to another, and we will go astray. The Bible says that he that committeth fornication, he that committeth murder, liars, adulterers, all these individuals, according to Galatians, according to 1 Corinthians, according to Ephesians, and all through the scriptures, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if individuals go into the far country and begin to live a lifestyle that's contrary to God, and they go back into the world, they will break fellowship with God, their heart will be turned to another, and they will lose their salvation, and they must come back to God in repentance. Remember the scriptures. Solomon was taught that if he multiplies wives, the danger is that these wives will turn his heart to another. And he was warned twice in 1 Kings. He was warned in Deuteronomy through the Torah, through the Old Testament scriptures. And the Bible says that those women turned his heart away from following God. The Bible says that the things written in the Old Testament were examples to us in the New Testament. They were examples for us to stay focused and to cleave unto God. For yes, our heart also can be turned unto another. Verse number 18 and 19. The prodigal son says, I will arise and go to my father. And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me one of thy hired servants. Here, the prodigal son is now broken. He realizes he's hit his bottom, and all he can do is look up. He realized he's cut off from fellowship with God. He realizes the grass was not greener on the other side. He realizes that all the love and affection and intimacy and fulfillment and kindness and compassion, everything he was looking for in life, was there right with him in his own backyard in the Father's house. He arises and with strength and confesses, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. In other words, he's not blaming the Father, saying, Father, it's your fault that I've sinned. Father, if you were a better father, I wouldn't be in this situation. He's not blaming the government. He's not blaming the church. He's not blaming the pastor. He's not blaming his spouse. He's not blaming the society. He's looking in the mirror and saying, I have sinned against you and against heaven. He's no more worthy, he states, to be called thy son. This is a sign of brokenness, where he's meat for the master's use. He's no longer running from God. He's running to God. And in his heart of hearts, he's saying the same words as Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I'm ready to serve you, just to be one of thy hired servants. I just want to go home. And he, in his heart of hearts, is echoing what the song poets used to sing. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, not my brother, not my sister. It's me, O God, standing in the need of prayer. Verse number 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. Looking over the horizon, the father was longing for him to come home. And when he came home, he ran unto him. This is the only place in the Bible where you see fathers symbolically written in a hurry, where God is in a hurry to forgive, in a hurry to show compassion. He's quick to forgive, quick to show compassion. Great is thy faithfulness. Come as you are, and in no wise I'll cast you out. The prodigal son came home and did not receive chastisement. He received embrace. The prodigal son already received his chastisement, already received his spanking in the pig pen. So the father had no need to spank him twice. So it is as us. When we come back to God, God will not chide. God will not chastise again. God will not spank us. God will not berate us. God will not put us down. God will not condemn us. The Lord will instead embrace us and hug us and comfort us and cleanse us and wash us. For the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse number 22 through 24. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Here we see the father actually cuts off the prodigal son from his confession. The prodigal son had rehearsed his confession back in verse number 18 and 19, where he said, I will say to my father, I have sinned before heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But in verse number 22, it's interesting to note that the father had cut off his confession. He allowed him to say, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But he cut off when he was going to say, just make me one of thy hired servants. How key is that, my friend? Because when we do come back, he would not allow him to say, just make me one of the hired servants. And this is so important, because when we do come back to God, we're not just a hired servant. When we come back to God, we are adopted back into the family. He puts shoes on our feet, symbolic of no longer being a slave, but being a son. He puts a ring on our hand, symbolic of saying, you've got your inheritance back. He puts a robe on us, symbolic that we belong to family, that we are royalty, and we are forgiven as if nothing ever happened. We have our inheritance back as if nothing ever happened. This is how the blood of Jesus washes white as snow, because he bore the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary, and everything that we have done in past, present, or future, Jesus Christ has paid the price for, giving God now the right to look upon us and declare us not guilty. This is the prodigal son coming back home to where he is restored back unto the Father. Individuals may be backslidden, where they've gone back into the world and they receive forgiveness. Now they must be restored. The broken heart must be healed. The tattered mind must be healed. The wounded spirit must be healed. We must be restored. We must have a ring on our hand and shoes on our feet and a robe placed upon us. This can happen when we come back to the Father. It does not matter what people say in the church when we come back. It does not matter what gossipers say about us in the office place. We are forgiven, for the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible says here in the last verse, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Once again, proving in the scriptures that this particular son has lost his salvation when he was in the pig pen. He was dead. The Bible says not physically dead. He was spiritually dead. He was made alive again. Some may say that when he was called son here in the parable, that he no longer lost his salvation, but God had always recognized him as son. Well, this in the scriptures is a term of endearment, for you'll also find the word son being used and addressed in Luke chapter 16 for the individual that was lost and went to hell and had prayed and said, Father Abraham, dip your finger in water and cool my tongue. And Abraham said to this particular individual, son, when you were alive, you had comfort in your good days, and Lazarus had misery. Now he is comforted and you're miserable. So he called the rich man that died and went to hell, son, as a Jewish term of endearment, not as a statement of sonship or adoption. The Bible says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. She has biological life. She has brain waves, heartbeat, a pulse, but she is spiritually dead because she's living a life of sinful pleasure. So like it is with the prodigal son. And sometimes individuals backslidden don't see this because they've lost the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was trying to draw them out of the far country. Yet the more they got involved in the things of the world, their heart became hardened. And that whisper and that knock on the door was harder and harder and harder to hear. And thus they came And thus they became enamored and engulfed and absorbed in the things of the world and no longer heard the voice of God. Thank God for the conviction that the Holy Spirit continues to draw upon an individual, and it's up to that individual to bow the knee as the prodigal son did and come back unto the Father. That's why the Bible says, when the Holy Ghost speaketh, harden not your heart. Here, the prodigal son thought that the grass was greener on the other side. Here, the prodigal son, in haste, took his inheritance, left home for the bright lights of Broadway, and began to think that he was living large, yet he was in a far country. He desired to come back home, and the father took him back, washed him, and cleansed him, and forgave him, and restored him. There's an old story where a son left home in similar fashion, and he had lived in riotous living. His mother and father were worried about him and concerned, and he thought that if he could just go home, he can receive love and forgiveness. So he wrote to his father ahead of time and said, "Father, I'm coming home, and if you forgive me, put a ribbon in a tree that I may see it, and then I'll know it's okay to come home." As the individual was on the train, he was thinking about the good times of home, the love of the father, and forgiveness of the mother. As he got off the train and walked toward the house, he looked for the tree and to see if that ribbon was there. And when he looked up, tears began to stream down his face as he saw a ribbon on the branch. Looked again and saw another ribbon on the limb. Looked again and saw ribbons throughout the tree. Not only was there one ribbon, two ribbons, a dozen ribbons, the entire tree was covered with ribbons. This son knew that with this sign, that note that the father not only forgave him, but the father forgave him indeed. And this is how it is with us and our Heavenly Father. The Bible says he will abundantly pardon. The Bible says, "Great is thy faithfulness." He will abundantly pardon. "Come unto me, and no wise I'll cast you out. Come unto me, all thee that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I love you with an everlasting love, and with love and kindness have I drawn thee." This is the parable of the prodigal son, part one. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. This prayer will change your life. Pray with me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your loving kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.